how sometimes things just fit together. We can't get clean without God. That was beautiful. Children's sermon. Today, our context is very important for the little parable we're going to hear. You see, in the 21st chapter of Matthew, things are very busy. It starts out with Jesus entering Jerusalem, Palm Sunday. The people are shouting, Hosanna. It's an ancient battle cry of the people who wanted freedom. And they literally looked to Jesus for that leadership. But then, in a prophetic gesture that prefigures the destruction of the temple, he overturns the tables of the money changers in the temple. And he causes later the fig tree outside on the hill to wither, which also symbolizes the destruction of the temple. And then the chief priests and elders challenge Jesus. They finally get up the nerve. They've been shirking in the background. But they challenge Jesus' authority. And Jesus challenges them right back. And their reply reveals their spiritual bankruptcy. And then the one who is in question turns around to question the questioners. This setting contributes to Matthew's negative presentation of the temple leadership, the leaders, and the elders. Those people who called themselves righteous. And we're cautioned to consider ourselves righteous. You see, it's right at the heart of this high-stakes conflict. Jesus knows what's happening. It's Holy Week. He's entering in. He will die. He already knows that. And then the leadership challenges him. And he replies in this manner. Our scripture today is Matthew 21, verses 28 through 32. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus speaking. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, Son, go to work in the vineyard today. He answered, I will not. But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second son and said the same. And he answered, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of these two did the will of his father? They said the first. Jesus said to them, Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe in him. Will you pray with me? Lord God, as we absorb this parable and look to where we place ourselves in it, or what it says to us in cautionary tale, give our eyes the wisdom of your heart to not only hear, but to put into our lives what we can absorb from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we all know that the triumphal entry was Palm Sunday. It led to the conflict escalating and finally the arrest and trial of Jesus and his crucifixion. But that didn't end the story, did it? He arose. He's alive. And so we go back and we visit what he said and say, what does this mean to us? You see, the truth is, he told a very short tale. And he asked the leadership, which one was righteous? And they answered correctly. The one who did the will of the Father. So what does that mean? As we analyze these two characters, neither of them seem righteous. The first one said he'd go. But then he didn't go. Huh. Wonder if sometimes that's not Bill Barnes. I say I'm going to go. I'm going to work for the Lord, but things get in the way. I'm tired. I've got other distractions, family members in need, and I'm not always perfect. And I bet you aren't either. And thank God that he understands that. Sometimes we say we're going to do something, and we don't do it. And the other one, he says he won't go, but then he goes. You know the old adage, it's better to do than to say. It's better to show up than to speak up. You understand that what Jesus is doing to these religious folk is exposing their hypocrisy. And I don't know a person who at some point in their life has not expressed hypocrisy. Search yourself. Is there anyone that's perfectly responsive, truthfully, in everything? And then we've got to ask ourselves, why is Christ telling us to do this? He's telling us to do this because we have work to do in the vineyard, don't we? This story tells us four things. First, there is work to be done. You, as Christ followers, as of Christ, as Christian, represent Christ in this world. Not only through your actions and your words, but the things you do, right? So first, we've got to acknowledge that this vineyard, and by the way, in the biblical jargon, the vineyard represented the fruit of the world. It represented the way that God intends things to be. Everyone to be fed, everyone to have plenty, everyone to know the love that God has for us and what he's created in this world. And to do that, there's work to be done. But second, that's God's work. What do we do when we're doing God's work? Do you have to put on a badge that says, I'm an emissary of God? Maybe it's a good thing to put it in your heart. Today, in all I do, in places I go, in people I see, I'm an emissary to God. And the third point is, he says, go now into the vineyard, not tomorrow. There's too many people that put off the work of the kingdom. I do that sometimes. I'm too tired to make another call. There's too much going on to do what I know God wants me to do. The weight of COVID keeps me isolated. Not a great excuse. The third point is that it's now. Every day when we wake up, we represent God to this world. To our loved ones first, how we speak to them, how we care for them, how we embrace them. To our neighbors, What do they think of you? What do they think of me? To the world we face each day, whether it's at work, at play, or just isolated. The third point, now, is important. You know, to make this point, I saw William Taylor, one of the scholars that I read, he revealed a story of Dwight L. Moody. Now, some of you remember Dwight L. Moody was the great evangelist in Chicago, and Moody Institute is his legacy. He converted thousands of people. But he tells this story. He says, on Sunday night, October 8, 1871, D.L. Moody was preaching in Chicago to the largest congregation he'd ever addressed up to that point. His text was, "What shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" At the end of the sermon, he said something like this, "I want you to take this text home with you and turn it over and over in your mind. Next week, we will be talking about Christ's death on the cross, and we will decide what to do with Jesus of Nazareth." Well, Ira Sankey, the famous accompanist and great hymn leader, began to sing, "Today the Savior calls, for refuge fly. The storm of justice falls, and death is nigh." But the hymn never finished. While Sankey was singing, there came a roar of fire engines on the street outside, and before morning, Chicago lay in ashes. It was the night of the great Chicago fire. Moody testified that to his dying day, he regretted telling the congregation to wait till next week to decide what to do with Jesus. He said, I've never dared to give an audience a week to think their salvation sense through. If they were lost, they might rise up in judgment against me. I have never seen that congregation since. I will never see those people again until I meet them in another world. But I want to tell you one lesson that I have learned that night, which I have never forgotten. And that is, when I preach, to press Christ upon the people then and there, and to try to bring them to a decision on the spot. I would rather have that right hand cut off than give an audience a week to decide what to do with Jesus. The power of this gospel story is the power of its immediacy. We have to analyze the two. Which of the sons were better? Well, neither one of them were really good. I kind of like that, because none of us are really good. I have some great people in this church who do incredible things for the kingdom of God, both in missionary works, in the context of social growth, the way that we challenge one another with Scripture, and what we're going to do. Bible teachers that teach deep things, ordained and not ordained, come together to learn about Jesus. This is a parable that talks about the importance of this. Which of the two did the will of the Father? You know, the will of the Father kind of brings home that phrase in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. Your will be done here on earth. So I guess, along with the tax collectors and the sinners of the day, we too need to be washed by Jesus. We too need to analyze, who are we in this story? Are we ones that say yes, but procrastinate? Are we ones that say no, but then later do it? And what does later mean? How much time is lost How many opportunities are passed by? Well, this parable spoke to me about the willingness to let the light shine. Hide it under a bushel? No! Let it shine. Shine for Jesus this week. Amen?